And
right, let's go.
Here we go. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go.
Hello, Melrosians the world over. My name is Tom Catalini.
I'm Jen LeClaire.
You know what? Actually, Sam.
Sam Hammer.
You could stay muted and I'll just fill in. I'm Sam Hammer.
Yay!
And I'm Tom Shampoo.
And this is Let's Talk Melrose. Melrose, a show where Melrosians talk to Melrosians about Melrose. No topic is on the limits unless it's not about Melrose, and we don't want to talk about it. But Melrose is just a microcosm for this big, wide, weird, wacky world that we live in. And, I mean, there's just so much going on. Oh, by the way, welcome to this wide, weird, wacky world, Henry Karaji.
Hey!
Born on Sunday.
Congrats to the Karajis.
Yes, congrats, and hang in there. Where he's beautiful, and we're looking for an LTMM t-shirt that's small enough to fit his tiny little self. We'll get a onesie. Don't tell.
Yeah, so our viewership just
shout
went
out
up by one.
or a diaper.
That might be more appropriate.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Congrats, Karaji family.
Yes.
All of Melrose is pulling for you. Also, go ahead.
We're all trying to transition to the summer stroll. I think they missed the summer stroll. I missed it too. I wasn't there.
I know. I know. You
wait, who was there? I was there.
I strolled. Okay. It was fun. I feel like every year it gets better. So shout out to Jen Manning and the chamber. This was her first stroll and kind of a big comeback, you know, her first big event, and also kind of just a big comeback for that event, because obviously we didn't do it last year. So it was awesome to be out and see everybody. Lots of people I haven't seen in a long time. It's exhausting to catch up with people that are outside of Russell Park. Like, it's exhausting to, it's a lot of.
So therefore, don't do it. Is that what you're saying?
No. But there's a lot of people I haven't seen for a long time. And I was delighted to see them all. And you know, but it's like, you know, repetitive, because you haven't seen everybody in so long, you sort of catch up over and over and over again. But it was awesome.
But, you know, Main Street's closed, no car traffic, and you're walking around mingling like that, which is great. And there's some restaurant food and drinks outside. Mm-hmm. There was music, I think 4 music stations, all different kind of music, all the way up and down the street. So it was a good opportunity for that.
I think the first year... Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
I was going to say, my one complaint is there was only one beer station that I found.
Yeah.
And there was very long lines. So I think the restaurants have to step up, bring out a table, bring out a keg of beer.
Well, we could have had Santa Fe burrito added to the mix if they hid the booze on the fence or something, you know. It's too bad. But yeah, I agree. The first year, I remember long lines, you know, it's only like that one or two blocks. And so there's only, you know, there's a limited number of restaurants, but so the long lines to get, you know, food or a drink, but each year we've added more. So there is more. And I think each year that we open new restaurants and more booze, it'll be better.
Somebody reminded me of this in the typical Melrose fashion. There was like a little 10x5 square taped off that you could have a sip of beer.
Right.
And when we started, because we didn't want to go all the way to people freely walking around with a cup of beer. So it's actually was
they
quite
might
nice.
They start
year,
a fire pit or something.
But it started much more reserved and it should go on from there. By the way, so I'm drinking a little gin and tonic here, some summer gin from Short Path Distillery in Everett that I got at a tasting at Buckaloo's.
Oh,
so I saw that.
Booze in there now. So
yes,
we're
I saw that.
Slowly but surely.
So also for a summer stroll, I just want to give a quick shout out to if you are, you know, if you are not a restaurant or a liquor provider in some way, I want to give a shout out to Wakefield Cooperative Bank. because I thought they are an example of a business who is not sort of, you know, retail and kind of customer facing. Yeah, yeah. The best thing they could do is to stand out there and give out money. That would be awesome. But you don't have to. They were a great example. You don't have to have you know, food or beverage to be able to participate. They activated their space. They had caricatures going on. They had live animals. They found a way to kind of get out and interact with the community. I think they've also been paying attention to us. So I hope actually that they're watching, because I know they've looked at some of our posts. So Ooh. Kudos to you. Kudos, Wakefield Bank. I will also still say I'd still prefer that our banks not be on the best block in Melrose. But having said that, if you're going to be there.
You know what? There's no banks on my street. I'm not sure.
Richard, our best commercial street.
Oh, okay.
But if you're going to be there, then, you know, be a good community member. And they really have. They're really out there. They're also doing like a summer reading program right now. So, yeah. So, you know, kudos to them. I think that that's just an example of how they're doing it right.
And those things matter. We are about to get our two little ones' bank accounts, and we're going to start there.
Yeah.
Because they are doing stuff for the community. So,
well, it looks like if they read, they'll get $25 extra too.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So
there you go.
Nice.
More books.
So that was cool. And we had a picture, actually. Did you see that? Do you have that, Tom Schiff? They had a picture real quick.
Of what? Which one?
The stroll of them of Wakefield doing caricatures for people on the stroll. Do we have that? If not, we'll just move on.
Is this it?
No, that's not it.
Is it this one here?
That's
this
one? That's
yeah,
it.
There we go. All I saw was a crowd. I didn't know the context of that. That's why I was confused.
The other picture was of a couple of characters, but that's different. So the other thing that was going on this weekend that was also arts and music, Tom Kett, you were there. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, the art market. I saw you there along with many other Melrosians. So the Melrose Open Studio Tour, they do a summer art market. They do one in June, one in July. And it does not replace the Open Studio Tour itself that happens in November. So it's yet another opportunity to see the amazing artists of Melrose. And so there's probably, I don't know, a dozen or 15, 10 by 10 booths set up on the BB Estate lawn. Absolutely gorgeous day out.
Yeah.
All different kinds of art and also live music, kind of low-key background. So there were three bands that played, including Boutte and the Brothers, a little low-key blues harmonica, you know, which was... we'll leave it to the crowd to decide, but I think we did okay. But it was just a lot of fun, and my God, what a beautiful, gorgeous day! And then I did talk to some of the folks, some of the artists there, at least a couple who said total thumbs up, like they did business, they got some commission work, like money was changing hands, and it was just a nice day in Melrose. And the BB Estate's a great place. There's a little parking lot in there. There's a great lawn. You know, there's street parking up and down. You're close to downtown, so it's really a great venue. Our friend Bill Butler, who's on the board there, was saying, you know, it's short money also to rent it out for functions. They've done a lot to renovate and repaint, and so the BB Estate's a great little venue if anybody's thinking about doing something.
It is one of our arts and cultural assets to be sure. So shout out to Demi Dubois and Rebecca O'Brien Penny, who were the organizers of that event. It's awesome. So thank you guys for pulling that together.
So at the Summer Stroll and the art market, when we're listening to some live music, some of the acts there were folks who signed up for Porch Fest. But I talked to some of the organizers of Porch Fest who said they've got about 30 or so porches lined up and about as many musical acts, but they really are looking for another, you know, 30, 60, like a high number of musical acts. Now, when they did this Porch Fest a couple of years ago, they had 80 to 90 musical acts. So they're in town, but we just want to encourage them to, if anybody's listening or watching or knows somebody who's got a musical act of any kind out there, to reach out to the Melrose Porch Fest people and sign up. There's plenty of places to play. It's just a great event. I'm so glad it's back this year. It's just a ton of fun. Hopefully we get good weather, nice crisp fall air, you know, with the
outdoors,
with the live music and hanging out.
Safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally safe.
And so did we hear the number 35 venues right now on the
something like that. Yep.
Some number like that. Okay.
Yeah,
that's a fantastic day.
So
it's really fun.
So now we have to get on to the news.
Never gets old.
Jen, hey, Jen, what's popping?
What's popping around Melrose? Well, I think we're going to find out soon what's going to be popping in Melrose. The city has just launched something called Project Pop-Up. It's a pilot program to fill vacant storefronts downtown with upcoming pop-up retailers, artisans, and makers. So it's funded through a grant from the Mass Office of Business Development. And there are two locations in Melrose. It's over near where Beanstalk was and whatever's right next door to that. So those two.
Where's Beanstalk?
On Essex Street. On Essex Street, okay. near on the same block
near the
as
the
Melrose, yeah. The Animal Hospital. Yeah, there's two empty storefronts there, and they're small, which is I don't know how big they are. I shouldn't say that. But those are two identified locations. Margot Fleischman, the city's director of strategic initiatives, is spearheading and launching this program. You have to apply. So I believe the deadline is August 10th. So small retailers will get access to these currently vacant storefronts for between 1 and 3 months. And you apply through this organization called Up Next that kind of lines you up and also gives you support services to go along with your pop-up. So you have like PR, you know, signage and PR and marketing assistance. So it's like an incubator program. And it's the first time Melrose has done something like this. I fully support it. It sounds great. I have, you know, a lot of questions. I know we talked about this a little bit that like, I'm not sure kind of what happens afterwards. Like, how do you take this as an incubator, but then ensure success for these businesses so that they can go on to whatever's next for them or stay in the location and develop it? Or I'm not sure, but it's a great way to start. So.
Wow. So that's I just fantastic. Clicked on the link that we should share, and it says each 400 to 500 square foot space will be transformed into a blank canvas with fresh paint indoors and out, available for 2 to 3 month long activations. And your rent will be subsidized at least 40% off of market rate.
Right.
Wow.
And you will have access to a suite of resources, including PR, marketing, social media support, so on and so forth. So it's pretty cool way to get your foot in the door if you're thinking of doing something in the retail arena, as they say. This would be a great opportunity.
And I think it shows what's possible. Go ahead, Tom.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it just shows what's possible with, X number of with dollars towards creativity and how to activate empty storefronts. I'm excited to see who comes in. Hopefully some, if not all of them, are Melrose small businesses. Obviously it's a choice that you can make if you are able to do and you need a retail space or able to move into a real retail space easily and then move out if you have to. So,
So who's subsidizing the rent? Is there a grant or something, or what's, do we convince the landlords to do it? Does anybody know the finer details? I'm just curious.
I believe it's through that grant from the office, the State Office of Economic Development or Business Development.
Okay, perfect. Right. Yeah. Give it a little seed money we're off and running.
Cool. Great. I'm hoping there's some sort of like teach a man to fish kind of a thing where.
Or a woman, Jen. You could teach women.
Yes, that's true. That's true. No, I just want the fish. I just want the fish delivered on my plate with no bones in it.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
A lemon on the side.
Shampoo, go.
No, I'm done. Your comment covered my comment. It's just about the creativity of unused space and being proactive in getting the community to come together and kind of come up with new ideas.
And that's a nice high traffic area. You know what I mean? That little people walk from like Shaw's to Main Street and back, right? That's a hot spot.
Yeah.
I think what it is that they want to see that historically significant lion's head that's hanging over that door
from TJ Maxx.
Circa 2016.
Well, I hope this is the season of precedence to be set. But in the meantime, we are again going to be collecting school supplies at Edward Jones. That was a terrible transition, but I got there eventually.
No, it's perfect. It's good. I did just see that.
So Edward Jones again, thanks to Chris Snell, will be on Main Street. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll be collecting school supplies for students in need. And most of these, if not all, are Melrose students. So there's another opportunity to give a pack through Melrose Together, and they'll be supporting housing. Lots of school supplies. Everyone's in need.
Exactly.
Housing Families has identified 500 students in their network who are in need of backpacks and supplies. So
that's amazing.
I'm going to present a challenge to all of us here that we do this, and then I want to get a picture, and we'll show it on the show at some point in the future in August. But let's all commit to doing something to bring it down there. I love, already there.
You know what was going through my head is I probably have leftover school supplies,
right?
You know, because Stephanie tends to stock up.
Yeah, I do too.
Pretty heavily. And now that the youngest has just graduated high school, we might have some pencil cases and backpacks and whatnot.
Can I give another hot tip for the pack of, give a pack a back a pack? If you go
with Hannah Donahue
at the job lot, if you go to Ocean State Job Lot, they have a program right now where if you buy a $15 backpack, they will give you a $15 gift card to the store. So
Ocean State, everyone.
Okay.
There you go, right.
I've already bought a lot of the supplies, but I haven't picked up a back yet, pack yet.
All right, there you go, Jen.
I was going to say, are actual backpacks on the list of needs, or is it supplies? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Both.
Just making sure.
Both. So I think Edward Jones has a supply list, and then the Malden Housing Families is looking for a backpack filled with the supplies. So you can do either one or both. There is, like Sam said, plenty of need right now. But also school. Yeah. I heard school supplies are going fast, though. So get out there. Ooh. Get out there and do it soon. I know, right? I know.
I'm going to send you my list and see if you have what we need.
You know what else?
What
else you need for school is books. And can you name one place in Melrose that as of 2017 had 95,797 books in stock?
Mom Shampoo's basement?
The Melrose Public Library.
Yeah, naturally, of course.
Yes, absolutely. The main library built in 1904, last renovated in 1994. We talked about this on the show. There's an $8 million grant awarded that we applied for years ago that the city was now awarded to pay for part of the renovation. The estimate in the original proposal is something around $18 million. So maybe it's rounded up. Maybe it ends up costing $20 million. We got about $8 million from the state. I heard that the trustees control some money that donated another $2
million. Another two, yep.
So you're making a good dent in it at this point. And the city, this doesn't like go to a vote or anything, but the city does need to decide and the city councilors need to approve, you know, the extra spend, however they finance that. Maybe there's some money in the couch cushions and maybe there's some debt that's taken on. Whatever it is, but it's a big decision, and it's identified in the Melrose Forward Plan. It's a high priority item. It's been talked about for a long time, but now some chips are falling. We got some money, but people have forgotten about this, right? We've had a pandemic and all kinds of things happening since then. So the city is holding a forum at the Learning Center at MHS on 7 p.m. at Wednesday, August 18th. Also, simulcast, as they say in the business, on MMTV in Melrose, so you can watch from home if you would like. And you're going to have the mayor there. You're going to have Margot Fleischman, the strategic planning. You're going to have the director of the library. You're going to have all the appropriate people there. They're going to have a bit of a presentation and then an open discussion. Now, I would recommend if you Google, I Googled something and you can find the original proposal or Melrose Library, you know, proposal, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And they scanned in the thing from 2017 and you actually could get a lot of background information and go into this, I think, pretty well prepared. But I have skimmed through. That's where I got those amazing statistics. And it's a very thoughtful plan with there was a lot of details required for this application, including community engagement and all that. So the leadership of the city at that time, the community at that time, all weighed in and shaped this plan. So this isn't something that's just coming to fruition now, but it does need to be recommunicated and people need to understand what it is and have their chance to answer their questions, ask and get them answered. And that's coming up in a couple of weeks here. So I think that's a great development. There's actually a link we can share where residents can submit questions on the form in advance. Okay. But I think I would encourage you to maybe I'll if I can figure it out here, I'll post the link to the scanned in proposal, because it really does give you a lot of information, and there's a lot to kind of process with that.
And even if you have no questions, it's really great to just go and become informed, because it's going to be a big renovation for the library. The city will be obviously connected to this process too. So I think everybody should know what that means and what's going to happen with the library. So.
Yeah. I can't wait. And, you know, I know, great opportunity for people to get their questions answered. And I'm just really hopeful that it goes forward. I think it's going to be such an important asset to our community going forward in the post pandemic world that we're going to be living in, a place to work, a place where our resources are. It's going to be an arts and cultural asset. It's just, they do a lot of great programming. I'm excited. I'm already thinking about like what it's going to be like.
Well, it tells you right up front. I mean, there's community space, space for quiet, space for conversation, moving the kids' room upstairs, community space underneath. In the proposal, I mean, they have pictures of how it's was used back then. And there are events with just people crammed. I've been to many events at the library downstairs. Yeah. And you're like, you're crammed in, like there's demand for it. Yeah. How many people do you think in Melrose are registered, number of registered borrowers, as we say in the library business? What's the population of Melrose? Say 28,000.
28,000 plus.
How many do you think are registered borrowers?
I don't know.
Well, all four of us are, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody in my family.
Everyone in my family as well.
So
I would say. I'm going to say it's higher than my guess. My guess would have been about 15,000. I'm going to say 20,000.
Anybody else?
Way off here?
20,001.
Yeah.
Sam wins the closest without going over. So as of 2017, 20,952. So this is quite the literate city we're living in. So people use this space. I mean, everybody in town uses this space, and it's going to go kind of next level. So I'm clearly a proponent. I'm showing my cards early before the forum.
I wonder how much more money they could raise if everybody in Melrose paid their library fines. Probably another like $47.
You know what? The thing is, when I pay my fine, it's ridiculous how small they are. Excuse me, Mr. Catalini. You know, you sheepishly put the book back on the counter, and you're like, let me check before you check something out. That's 35 cents. You
are right.
So there's
never have any money too. So I'll be like, can I Venmo you?
So there's a hack in the system, because I do borrow a lot of books, and you can get books from anywhere in the Noble system, and they'll bring them in. Like, I didn't even understand. This is like a magic, you know, like a guy in a truck drives it from Beverly to Melrose and like gives it to me.
It is magic.
But the hack is, you don't pay the fines to the distant library, so Melrose will not pass through the fines.
Oh my goodness! Also, they're hiring at the library right now. By the way, too. Check out the city's human resources page. They're hiring at the library. Cool. Yeah.
Yes. Nice.
Yep.
Is it for a guesstimator?
What else is?
Well, what else is happening, Tom?
Well, we're all wearing.
Oh yeah,
Melrose red.
This is it. People have been wondering. What's going on in Melrose?
Right. So the other thing that came out this week, which was kind of interesting, is Jason Merrill, principal of Melrose High School, just took a stand. And this is something that's been in the community for a long time about the Melrose Red Raider name. So we have had a mascot in the past that was, an American Indian, Native American. That was removed, and there was a dream catcher was still part of the logo. That was removed, and now he wants to go further and eliminate the Red Raider name. So what I always love when a leader does this is just makes a stand, says, this is what I think we should do. He has a plan to engage the community of the school. Yeah. And I love this guy. He's so passionate about Melrose High. He's
that
like,
was great.
5 years ago, I signed a contract to, to be the steward of the most important building in the city and the most important community. He really is passionate about Melrose High. So he's taking a stand, and he's just saying over the course of the school year, he would like to engage the community, students, and everybody else, and come up with a new, I guess, name, logo, mascot, whatever it is, wherever you're going. You know, in Cleveland, the Cleveland Indians are now the Guardians. They did that. It's kind of the trend, and I like that he's taking a stand on this, and he wrote kind of a passionate letter. I don't know where this was posted. It was posted somewhere. I read it.
It went out by email to all MPS families, or maybe just MHS, but it went out in a message. I actually got two different
maybe emails. I saw it on Facebook or something.
The PTO then posted it, and more posted it. But I also want to add to you, kudos to Mr. Merrill. I also support this decision. It's not something that he's doing in a silo, though. I mean, this has been talked about for a long time. There are, teams of people and advisors. This is for folks who are saying this is kind of come out of the blue. And how is he making these unilateral decisions?
Are people saying that?
A little. Not terribly, though. I mean, I think I would say, stick with your decisions, Mr. Merrill, and move forward, and we will get past this, and you're doing the right thing, and just be confident in that, and let's move forward. But yeah, of course, there's a little bit of discussion about it, like why does he get to decide? But it's not a unilateral decision. There's this has been a discussion that's been happening in our community for a long time, and first, like you said, Tom, it was first the imagery, and now the moniker.
I like tradition, but I don't want to be bound by it. I think we should always be forward looking and future looking for lack of another verb. So you want to honor the tradition and respect the history, but not be bound by it, I think. Yeah. So, if that was the thing in the past and it's not right for the future, I feel like it's less contentious in Melrose than Wakefield. Like they did a popular vote, non-binding vote, and like it was like 50-50 split. Issue.
They were pretty democratic the entire time in Wakefield. They really did a lot of community process and had a lot of forums. They wanted to bring the community along with them the entire way. I think the difference, because we had Colleen Guida on the show talking about that, but I think the difference here is that the administrator has made the decision or has made the recommendation that this is how his school is moving forward, and that they did not have. And I think now, yes, there's a community process and we're going to see what the phase out the Red Raider and identify a new mascot. And I think more people will be involved with that, the school committee and the community, et cetera. But the decision has been, it is very declarative. There is literally, I didn't read any gray in this. And your point about leadership, bold leadership is making progress happen. So I don't know, Tom, Kat, or either Tom. Well, Tom Shampoo has been out. He's been unplugged from Melrose for the last 2 weeks. But I don't know. I linger a little in the uncensored section at times. I like to see what people are saying over there. And so it's, I don't know.
What are they saying? What's the scuttlebutt?
So people are, but people who live in Melrose or who don't live in Melrose anymore, it's obviously a lot of conversation around political correctness and legacy. This is our history that we're erasing, cancel culture and so on and so on.
Oh,
and
really? Wow.
Yeah. So,
I think
and those history's made too.
Those arguments, I think, shouldn't summarily be dismissed. I'm not sure they apply here. So there's some emotion and some weight behind that. And I think it's worth listening to in this case.
Yeah.
It just seems like we've taken a number of steps, and I like the stand, leadership is about managing change in many ways. And he's trying to lead the community through that change.
Yeah.
And I respect, tradition and history and all of that in so many aspects of my life. But like I said, I don't want to be bound by it. And some of these issues, when they come to light, I think they feel like they can get restrictive. And I also feel like this is not knee-jerky. So when the cancel culture thing, somebody puts out a tweet intentionally, mistakenly, whatever, makes a comment and everybody hounds on them. That is bananas. I don't like that at all. Yeah. This seems much more thoughtful. And he's not saying get rid of it without some kind of plan, offering some kind of plan. And we don't know if he'll be successful. You know, yeah, it seems like it. So, but at least he's taking a stand and going for it. And so we'll see what happens. So,
but his history is a series of changes. I mean, history is like how things evolve, right? Things change. I'm sorry. What were you going to say, Tom Sham?
No, fine. I was going to just ask, what is the actual official process? Who has to decide yes or no? Is it a school committee? Is it the superintendent's office or a bunch of people? Do we know the answer to how it actually changes?
I don't know the answer, but I'll give you one anyway. I think the school gets to decide who its mascot is.
That's how we roll.
So yeah, I think the school decides. Yes. I can decide who my mascot is.
Where's our banner?
I heard there's a flaming swan's flag floating around.
No, it was stolen.
So here's the thing. And I spoke out against it. Somebody asked for my honest opinion. I spoke against the flaming swan, but just like the mere exposure effect, people did not like the Eiffel Tower when it was first installed.
That's right.
They hated it. Yep, but just by being exposed to it, you come to like it. Familiarity. Familiarity doesn't always breed contempt. Sometimes it breeds, except that's why, repetition and all that. So that goddamn swan I've come to like, and now it's gone.
If somebody stole her, maybe burned somewhere. She's gone. She's just gone.
Oh my God.
I can recreate it, but I think we should have a more democratic process for our mascot for the neighborhood. I'm fine with that.
Yes. Designed by committee, please.
Yes. Multiple approval process.
Readjust the colors a little bit. But all this whole thing about legacy, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't have that. I don't feel it. I don't experience that. Like I was a shark. Whatever.
Right.
I don't get it. But I don't have to get it. Right. Like it's not for me to feel and understand. I appreciate that people have that feeling and understanding, but you know what I also don't get? I also don't get what it feels like to be in the Native American culture and to have this, obvious to some bigoted racist imagery and nomenclature. Right. So that I don't get. And if I, as somebody who doesn't understand either, if I have to compare and prioritize, it's very clear where my priority would be.
Well, it's interesting to relook at the past and some of those traditions through fresh eyes. So friend of my nephew of Asian American descent, when a lot of that stuff was bubbling up, the anti-Asian stuff, posted on Facebook, and he went through his, it was very moving. He went through his yearbook signatures from friends. And he shared a photo of just what it was at the time, which at the time I think he thought was harmless, but he was like totally kind of defined by his race in these comments. And it was just interesting to watch him look back at that and to sort of think about that stuff from a distance. So to your point about Native Americans, like maybe even 20 years ago, there was one perspective on it, and you might sort of look back now and go like, and kind of have a different view. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
And I think too, where we live geographically, there are other towns that the border Melrose that also incorporated Native American culture or as a part of their mascots or a part of their identity. And they're all struggling with that as well. We mentioned Wakefield. So I think it's not just Melrose, it's other towns nearby that make the region feel the same way.
And I think you do that because you admire it, right? You don't pick a mascot that you don't like for your town. Right. So you're doing it probably with the best of intentions. But, you just have to relook at that and like maybe it wasn't mine to take.
Maybe it wasn't.
Whether you got it wrong or right or wrong or whatever, but maybe going forward you should do something different. And that's where I think you have to evolve. As Jen LeClaire says, history is nothing but a series of changes.
Oh my God, pod name for sure. I'm going to get that on a shirt.
That's perfect.
All right.
Brilliant.
Well, anyway, it's with that, it's 9 o'clock. We could talk about this for a while. But
there are 3 days more. So Les Mis is this.
Oh
weekend,
my God.
Everybody.
Yes.
Did you like that? I practiced.
Yeah, that was very good.
Please can't get your tickets. Even if you cannot go, the Broken Leg Productions, if you ever want to go see them again, just buy some tickets, make a donation.
If you're on the fence at all, rewatch last week's show. Right?
Yes.
Oh my God. It was great.
It was amazing.
You guys did a great job with that show.
If you want to see behind the scenes and how the whole thing, how the machinery works and the business model. It's what it takes. What's that?
Right. And what he thinks about the financial situation, because he did talk in stark terms about the need to make sure that money's coming in so they can maintain their, yeah, their shows.
Well, so there's somebody's got to paint the set and do the costumes and do the lighting. Somebody right. has to rent the space. Somebody has to buy the rights to that musical, because if it's a musical I wrote, probably the crowd isn't coming in, right? But if it's Mary Poppins,
I would love to test that assumption, Tom.
Huh. You know what? I do have a script I'm working on.
I will help punch it up
a little bit.
I'll help
a four person play.
The lyrics is my strong suit, and tap dance. And tap dancing. Yes, we're going to brush up our skills, Sam. And I also would like to say I was very proud to contribute to the costuming department for Broken Leg Productions. Part of their summer camp program is that they show up every day with like these themes and stuff. And so some great Broken Leg cast members from Cinderella paid an emergency visit to LeClaire Costume and Props Department last night. And I saw the pictures of it this morning, and it was awesome. So I hope we crushed it. I hope we won the candy.
Wow. No contest today, but we'll give you candy anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
So I can't wait for Les Mis. It's going to be great.
See you this weekend. Wear a mask, please, if you can.
Yes.
And that's all we got, you guys.
All right. Mask up, Melrose, and we'll see you at Les Mis.
See you around town.